Series 2, it's episode 12 of the Football Fun Factory podcast, and we're going to be talking about fitness in children's football. It's really important that people get it right when it comes to how early on fitness is introduced into the game. I remember some of my childhood football experiences where perhaps fitness was introduced at a too young age, to be honest. But Johnny, tell us about you. Were you running around the park at a ridiculously young age? I bet you were.
Yeah, still remember now. Get into a session and the coach starting the session with laps. Take yourself round. And they used to go round the full-size pitch and start doing laps. And
what age was that?
I reckon maybe 8 years old, seven, wow. 8 years old. What about you, Chaddy? Obviously going a long, long time back. But what do you remember?
Yeah, I remember it. Like, it's the same, isn't it? I think that was just the norm to run round the pitch, a couple of laps round the pitch, back in. To be honest with you, I didn't mind it. It made me feel like a bit of a grown-up, like we saw what the adults done when they done their warm-up around the pitch, and then it was into the game. But sort of look at fitness in football now, you see the way that sports science has moved forward, and you see a lot of things sort of on social media and that sort of thing where you're thinking, that's probably not doing anyone any good.
Yeah, I think this is a really interesting topic. I think there's definitely an age where fitness needs to be introduced into the game, and I think if you want to develop as a footballer, that's really important. But also, if you want to be a fit and healthy young child growing into an adult, is really important too. So let's put the topic on trial. We're back. It's time for James's Court. We're going to put this topic on trial. I've got two contrasting views. This one for you, Johnny.
Thanks, mate.
Do you know what? I'm going to swap them over. Got a good feeling about this. There we go. I'm going to swap those over. And you guys are going to have a little read of your viewpoint. Now, just a reminder that these are not the views of Luke Chadwick and Johnny Martin. These are two contrasting views where they have to argue a case, whether they believe it or not. Who should we go to first? Johnny, let's start with you.
Children maintain the required levels of fitness by playing the game. There should be no specific fitness training until children reach their teenage years.
Ooh, interesting view. Luke, do you agree?
With that, no way. This is my contrasting view on this subject. No matter how old you are, you have to be fit to play football. Unfit children have no chance of making it. Bring on the bleep tests.
Bring on the bleep test. Big words from Luke. But Johnny's really positive about children just playing the game and enjoying themselves, Luke. So why not ask him a few questions about that?
So you say it's just about children having fun, enjoying themselves, blah blah blah. How are they ever going to make it? How are they ever going to progress unless we put some fitness into them early on? They run, they run, they run. Bleep tests. Laps around the pitch. They're never going to improve their cardiovascular endurance levels unless we run them, John. Come on.
If you went to a Saturday morning field where there's loads of kids on a Saturday morning all playing football and you asked all of the children why they're there, you'd get so many of the children say to have fun, to be with my mates, to socialise, to play football for the love of the game. There's not everyone that plays football is destined to be a professional footballer. Not everyone that plays football wants to be a professional footballer, and therefore fitness shouldn't even come into the conversation, Luke.
Regardless whether they're going to be a professional footballer or not, surely they want to be as fit and as healthy as they could possibly be, and we can only do that by doing loads and loads and loads of running. Put the balls back in the bag and just run for a session.
So you don't think children can develop fitness by playing football with footballs at their feet?
I think they can to a point, but unless it's purely, some sessions are purely focused on running. I mean, we all know the bleep test, how good that can be for you, both physically and mentally, to really push yourself to the limit. Mm. Every child should do a bleep test at least once a week.
Okay, we're going to draw. Bring on the bleep test, and every child should do it once a week. Okay. Good little snippets for the social media from this week's podcast. So a reminder that Luke's topic was talking about positively discussing the topic of children being fit and healthy, and thinks it's really important. Johnny, Let's dig into that a little bit deeper. Let's put them on trial.
So you saying, Luke, that children as young as 5, 6, 7 years old should be doing bleep tests?
I think it's the only way we've got a measurement of them. So when they get older, we can keep a track of the scores again.
You've lost it. You've lost the plot.
John, you know what the podcast is. James has given me something. I've got to argue for it. So that's what I'm trying to do. Go on, go.
So obviously, not all of the children attending the session, attending matches and training, want to be super fit. They don't go there specifically to be a professional footballer. So why should they have to do all this mad fitness stuff that you've got planned for them?
They're choosing to go. They're at the session. Everyone does the same. So we'll play a little bit of football. Don't get me wrong. We'll get the footballs out. We'll have a little game. But we are going to be running because we need to work on fitness to make sure everyone in the squad... If I'm going to have a successful, I don't know, under seven squad, I need everyone at a good level of fitness to help me get to the top of the league, to win the trophy, whatever it may be.
I mean, you've lost the plot, Luke. Sorry, mate.
No further questions.
No further questions.
Okay, let's draw an end to proceedings. I'm struggling for awards, so let me just pick up one of these. We have got a few awards floating around here at FFFHQ. For this one is for the winner of the Best Franchise, Best New Entry at last year's Best Franchise Award. So that's what's up for grabs this week. Blue card last week, Best New Entry at the Franchise Business Awards this week. Who knows what will happen next week?
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah. And week by week, we'll find different awards and we'll present them. Maybe the wig will be given away, hopefully at some point. So I've listened to you talk, both of you, and make really compelling cases about whether children should focus on fitness at a young age. But I think it's clear and evident from the discussions that have taken place that this week's winner is Johnny. Oh,
thanks very much.
Congratulations. Very good. Well done. What we're going to do now, I'm going to get myself out of this ridiculous outfit and we're going to have a little chat about what we actually really think. So it's time now to hear what everybody really thinks. Luke, you presented a case to say that you believe that children from 5 years old should be running the bleep test. Come on. Really?
Yeah. Obviously, I'm... It was completely ludicrous what I was saying there. There's no need for children to do any sort of fitness work at them formative years. Of course, it makes no difference to their body whatsoever, and it is around playing football.
So let's go through the ages then. So 5 years old, no.
Five, no.
Eight?
No.
Ten?
No.
12?
No.
30?
30? Yeah, it's probably best to. I think once you hit your sort of teenage years, there's a time where there is a benefit. You can become fitter by doing cardiovascular work, running. But again, I'm pretty sure you could get as much fitness out of playing a game of football than doing any running that's taking over the football side of what everyone enjoys doing the most.
Johnny, you told me the other day that when you're wearing your Whoop band, obviously other fitness tracking devices are available and in the market, but, you know, shout out to one of our sponsors.
Yeah.
But when you were wearing your Whoop band the other day, it tracked 3,000 calories when you were playing football. And you were talking about, actually, if you as an adult, obviously warm up for half hour, 45 minutes, whatever, depending on the level you play. And obviously what that warm-up entails can vary as well. But you warm up for a period of time, you then play a 90-minute match. So it's quite a lot of physical activity, a lot of calories burned, a lot of fitness gained, and obviously training a couple of times a week on top of that. Playing football in general without doing laps of a field gets you pretty physically fit, right?
To be honest, I completely understand and see why... As you get older, there is more specific stuff to, like, fitness, specifically within football. And obviously, coming from an academy background, the sports scientists would come out and they'd, like, be really clear on how much sort of physical load they want the players to do. But to be honest, even if I were to take an adult team, all the fitness that I would do would be with footballs. Mm-hmm. I don't think you need to do anything in isolation away from... having a football at their feet, even if it is doing shuttle runs and that type of stuff, I think you can still do it with a football at their feet. I think you get so many physical benefits from playing the game. Like you said, the ridiculous amount of calories burnt throughout a match day and throughout training. And I just think, for me, especially within the foundation phase and youth development phase, I think you can do it all with the football.
Let's take back to pre-season, Luke, throughout your career. How did you feel about pre-season? What was it like? Did you love it, hate it?
Chaddy loves it.
Yeah. That was when I was at my very best. When the balls were still in the bag, ran, there was no one better than me. I used to struggle a little bit when the footballs came out and we had to use them. But I think sort of as the game moved on, obviously I was in from years and years ago when I started, and it was purely pre-season, was just about get your trainers on, we're running. I think as the game's progressed more and more, all of pre-season more or less now is done with footballs, and it's always the ball work. I think what's the match is the hardest thing in the world. You can do as much running as you want. When you're out injured for a period of time, you spend a load of time running, getting back up to a level to go back into training. But when you're actually playing the game, that is so much more physically demanding than any run that you'd ever do. So I think it's, in terms of children, they just want to play, don't they? And I think we're sort of talking about adults a little bit, but when we talk about kids, they just want to play football, and it doesn't really matter how fit they are because they're running about with a smile on their face.
Yeah, I think back to just playing the grassroots game, 8, 9, 10 years old, and I do remember doing laps of the big field, and there were like probably 3, 4 full-size football pitches, and we were lapping this whole thing. I remember we used to get to like these bollards that were down the side of the pitch to keep dogs off the pitch or whatever it was, and we had to leapfrog the bollards, which could go quite badly wrong as well. And then there was the old exercise where you shout go and the person at the back has to sprint to the front.
Yeah, classic.
Great times.
But I know, I already knew before I said that, without even speaking to you two about this topic before, that you'll have done exactly the same. So why were, back then, and maybe it's got better now, we can talk about that in a sec, but why were football coaches back then getting children to do laps of a field? What was it, a lack of education? Was it what they saw on TV or what they saw adults doing? Why was that allowed to happen?
I think it was probably a lack of information rather than necessarily education. I think probably back then there wasn't the data that there is now. There wasn't the information and the insight and the even like the scientific discoveries and that type of stuff of like what actually helps improve your fitness. And I think it probably was just back then lack of information that people didn't know. They just did what they did when they were growing up, and that unfortunately probably still is the case now. I do think there are some bad examples of fitness at those youngest age groups, get them to do laps. I've seen it walking past the park or whatever, and you're seeing the children do laps around the pitch and bleep tests you see online. Like, I think probably back then it just was, that's just what happened.
Yeah, Football Fun Factory session the other night. We did a coaching observations, seeing a potential franchising head coach to join us, and FFF session in one half of the AstroTurf, grassroots session in the other half of the AstroTurf. First 10 minutes, the kids don't touch a ball and they're lapping the pitch. And I guess you sort of look over and it don't look like they're not enjoying themselves. You know, I'm sure that if that was the case, they wouldn't be there. But I'm sure that they'd enjoy it much more if they had a football at their feet, right?
Yeah, they're there to play football, aren't they? And I think it is completely down to sort of misinformation, lack of football in education, or maybe not a lack of people that have been involved in football, like you said, that's what they've done, so why not these kids do it now? I think what you say there is so interesting, where you turn around, they've not got a football for that first 10 minutes, but they've still got a smile on their face, and that's the power of football, isn't it? The social element, them being with their mates, that's so important, isn't it? They're there together doing it. They've got a smile on their face. They're probably not doing the most enjoyable thing, going through a very rigid, structured warm-up, but they're there. They're together. And I think that's the most important thing. And when we talk about fitness in kids' football, it's ludicrous, isn't it? They're there. They're with their friends. They're running around together. And that's what makes the game so powerful and so brilliant.
So any top tips, Johnny? So for obviously fitness does come into the game. So as children, especially as you get into like secondary school ages, you know, the youth development phase, if you like, of kids football, of course fitness comes into it. When you're playing an 11-a-side pitch for the first time, covering that ground is going to be really important, being athletically developed. So how can we get fitness, the right levels of fitness or the right type of fitness into children to benefit them in the absence of lapping the pitch?
Three top tips. So first and foremost, tag games, I think, are a brilliant way to get children running about, having fun with a smile on their face. They change in direction, their sprints, accelerations, decelerations, loads of energy. What's the word? Exuberated? No, that's not the word. Exhausted. Loads of energy used up. And brilliant for their cardiovascular things. I can't even speak. Three tips. First one, tag games. Brilliant for getting the children on the move. Tip number two is thinking about space. It's a different size of area. So if you want the children to have lots of changes, direction, loads of accelerations, decelerations, then make the area quite small. If you want them to hit their top speed over bigger distances and you want to challenge them physically that way, then make the areas bigger. And then the last thing is time and how long you play an activity for. So if they're playing for 5 minutes, that's going to get a very different physical return from playing a session from 1 minute. So using time limits within the session and using different times for the different practices, I think, is another good way to try and get those types of fitness things out within the session.
There was a wry smile when you mentioned the bleep test earlier on, just because straight away you say the bleep test. I think it's not called the bleep test, it's the multi-stage fitness test, I think you have to call it these days. But yeah, the bleep test just brings back memories, doesn't it, of doing it in school.
Oh, and horrible.
And people throwing up. I remember people, like children, still children, throwing up on the side of like a PE lesson at school because they wanted to get the best possible score. Like, it is a crazy test. It's a legitimate test for adults, but is the bleep test something that should be stopped? Is it right?
I don't think it's right for children. And I think, obviously, in professional football, I don't know if it's called the yo-yo test. It's all different names now, but it does give you a reference point of where you're at. And if you continue doing it, you can sort of see the improvements that you make throughout a season when you come back in pre-season. I mean, I remember doing it. I think it was in GCSE PE in the sports hall at Melbourne Village College. And I'll be completely honest with you, it quite excited me because I was quite fit, I was quite athletic, I could do really well at it, but there was other people that were sort of dreading it and desperate not to do it. And I think that's what we've always got to be very conscious on. We all see these videos that people put on social media, whatever platform it may be, of saw this under 9 team doing a bleep test the other day, and it does
crazy
sort of beg a belief to a certain extent that should be done at that age. But like, I think it's not something young children should be doing. I understand the reasons for teenagers sort of when you're getting that base level of fitness, but I think you've always got to be conscious, particularly in this day and age, of how it makes other people feel when you're doing it in a large group of people that could be at vastly different levels throughout doing it.
Brilliant stuff. A wonderful discussion, guys. Really, really enjoyed that. Some great top tips from Johnny Martin. Big shout out to Johnny's social media pages as well, because on YouTube, on TikTok, on Instagram, you'll see loads of coaching videos from Johnny. The kind of top tips that he delivered there are hundreds and thousands of those. And for those football coaches watching, listening, then I think that's a great starting point to go and listen and learn more. We're now going to go into the final section of the podcast. After last week's podcast, this new section was greatly supported by our audience. And it's going to be quickfire questions for Super Lukey Chadwick.
Absolutely buzzing.
Another top pod and a chance to ask Luke Chadwick some questions. Johnny, you can go first this week.
Last week, I asked you if you could relive a match, what would it be? And I said that you could change the outcome of that match. But I'm going to ask you the same question that I asked you last week. However, you can't change the outcome. So if you could relive one match that you did previously, you've previously played, what would it be and why?
Okay, firstly, I'm a little bit disappointed that you're asking more or less the same question as you did last. Like, you're not that bothered about asking a question. But I will go with, to relive the game exactly how it was played out. Oh, God.
See, great question. Another really, great question.
Really good question. It would be my Champions League debut, I don't know if your question is going to be exactly the same as
last week. No, it's going to be different. But
it would have been at Old Trafford, my first ever start against Sturm Graz at Old Trafford. We won the game 3-1, I believe, and I went on a fantastic run in the second half to help set up a goal for Roy Keane. And to play at Old Trafford on a Champions League night, the atmosphere was absolutely electric. So it'd probably be going back to that game.
Running down the left-hand wing. Yeah. Left-hand side, I remember it, yeah.
I think we've got a video. I don't know if we can... I don't know.
Have we got time for this week's podcast?
Fair enough.
We've got time for one more question, though. In a lot of our social media posts, and stuff that you put out, there are comments that come in that say about Gerrard... No, it says... Sorry, let me get it right. Chadwick 1, Gerrard 0. And what people are referring to is that you played in the team that won the Premier League, you have one Premier League winner's medal, and Steven Gerrard doesn't have one. So a lot of, obviously, Man United fans having a little pop at Steven Gerrard. When you read that or you see that, and it happens quite a lot, doesn't it? Like, this is almost like a thing with our socials. What do you think to that?
It always gives it a lot. I'm not sure how to sort of take it, because you, like, the way that I read it, and this might be wrong, is... I can win a title, even I can win a title, but Steven Gerrard didn't. So I'm not sure if it's a positive or a negative sort of comment. To be fair, it doesn't make any odds to me. I'm absolutely delighted and proud that I was lucky enough to win Premier League winner's medal. I mean, I was lucky enough to play with Steven many years ago in the Young England teams, and he was an incredible footballer, had an incredible career, a much, much better footballer than I was. His career pretty much says that with what he's done at Liverpool, and the utmost respect for him as a football player. But as you said, still couldn't win the Premier League, and I just did, just nicked one in the end. But yeah, like I say, it's always things that brings up a bit of a, I'm not sure how to take that, but always the positive that it reminds me that I've got won a Premier League medal, because sometimes I forget to put it on in the morning, so I don't remind myself.
Always a good reminder.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Another great episode of the Football Fun Village podcast, and we cannot wait for episode 13.